through her words. Thank you, Kath.
Good morning, everybody. Christmas can be such a great celebration. I want us to think today about what we're actually celebrating this year. This year has been a crazy year. Some have been working harder than they ever have before. Some have been struggling to get work and struggling to put food on the table. Some have been lonely and some have been cramped up in little spaces with too many people. Some of us have been ill and some of us have been fitter than we ever have been before. It's a really mixed up and messy time. In these strange times, we can look back at our own history and the history of God's people to see time and time again how God has promised to protect us, to be with us in hard times and good times. He doesn't promise to take away the difficulties, but he does promise to be in it with us. And he does have a plan for an amazing future. So let's look at our history book and see what Father God has been saying. We're going to read from a passage from Isaiah in the Old Testament. The book of Isaiah was written to God's people in a really dark time, and it offered hope for the future to many throughout history and in today's difficult days. This passage is written in poetry style, so it needs some thinking about. I'll try and read it slowly so that you can think about it as I read. So Isaiah 9, 1-7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it, upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This was written about 700 years before Jesus was born. As we know now, it was one of the prophecies declaring Jesus's birth and that he would one day rule the earth. This shows that way back then, God had a plan. He knows times are hard, but he's reminding us to carry on living in the knowledge he has a big plan for a great future. This promise from God still stands for us today. The Son has been born and he, Jesus, will come again and will rule the heavens and the earth. We can look forward to a future where God's ways of doing things will be fully in place for our whole universe. Imagine a reset of all the things wrong with our world. No sickness, no death, no crying, no pain, no inequality, no injustice, no pollution. Then all of us living a new life with Jesus as King. We will have already experienced life doing it our own way, and we will know in our hearts how to do it God's way, and we will do it. Life will be spectacular in every area, with everyone and everything thriving. Jesus will rule and peace will reign. Can you imagine it? I heard someone say once, imagine your best day ever on the earth. Multiply it loads and loads of times, and it's still going to be better than that. We have hints in the Bible about what life will be like when Jesus returns, but we won't know how amazing it'll be until it actually happens. You might say, that's a long way off. But until it happens, we have such great promises from God for the now. We have the answer to the world's problems. We have the good news. This is amazing. It's better than a vaccine. We get to have a relationship with the Creator God. We get status, money and power, all those things that we crave on earth. We get heavenly status. We become sons and daughters of the King. We get heavenly money. We get to store up treasures in heaven by showing others Jesus's love right now. And we get heavenly power. We have this tool called prayer, direct access to the Father God. We have the solution to the world's problems. What are we doing with our news today? Are we sharing it? All through this book, God promises to be with his people and protect us. He shows us how to live and he gives us reminders of his faithfulness. Do we read it? Time and time again, God has told us to remember what he has done before. How he rescued us, how he supplied all our needs, how he brought us through difficult situations. He tells us to remember those times because they build hope in him for our future. They show us his faithfulness. This is a time of year when we specifically remember the pivotal moment in history where God put the next phase of his plan into action to bring in the new future. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate Jesus coming into the world as a tiny baby, born in Bethlehem to bring the world back to him. When you think that the God who created the whole world so wanted to have a relationship with us, that he chose to be born into this world, the world he created, placed in the hands of a young girl, in a family with not much money or any position in society. He was born into a situation that included much shame and much gossip. Emily's going to tell us more about that later on. Who thought that giving a young girl a baby was a good plan? It was shocking. We like things neat and tidy, and that wasn't neat and tidy. Jesus came to show us a way to live. Whether we are rich or poor, in a neat family or not a neat family, he showed us that his truth was better. His truth and love was better than earthly status, money or power. Jesus' plan was to show us how to live, to put others first, to give up our earthly desires and to follow God's plan. our world's current plan is to put self first. It's all about me. And for us, it's so easy to follow that way. Eat as much as we can, buy more than we can afford, live a life of indulgence. It's Christmas after all, why not? This is such the opposite of God's plan. He wants us to live by being generous with what he has given us, sharing what we have or even giving it away. How do we want to live this Christmas? Remembering what he has done on the cross, sharing him with others, looking forward to a great future.
So, what's the best thing you've experienced or heard God do in your life? Recently, in the Investigate sessions, we've been asked that question quite a few times. My answer to this question would probably be when I was about 6 and I asked God for a sister. It was my first answer to prayer and really amazed me. When you think about it, although we didn't personally see Jesus' birth, we hear about it every year, and every year it's just as amazing as the previous year. But have you actually thought about how awestruck and frightened Mary would have been being visited by an angel and then miraculously becoming pregnant as a virgin? I mean, if that happened to me, I would definitely think something was wrong with me. Probably overwhelmed by everything, no wonder Mary had to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Mary's song is a passage in the Bible that shows her praising God for choosing her to be the one to give birth to God's son. So Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55 says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." As you can see, Mary's song is a song of praise that shows how amazed she is and the extent of her faith. Mary talks about the mighty deeds that God has performed in the past. This demonstrates her trust that if God has done miracles successfully before, then he can do it again. This passage also clearly highlights Mary's confidence in the Lord, which is most likely one of the top reasons why God chose her to be the mother of Jesus. However, although Mary might be confident, she might not have been singing this song while dancing for joy. All we know, she could have been crying with her voice trembling and shaking. Mary's song might not have necessarily been a happy one, but it is certainly a declaration of her trust in the Lord for the tough times ahead. The line, "Now all generations will call me blessed," shows how she acknowledged that God was not using her just for her own benefit, but also for generations to come. This is amazing, as God is using one woman to shape the future. Whilst Mary might have been astounded and amazed about it all, God wasn't surprised. He knew what was going to happen and had a plan. In the same way, God also knew that Mary, most likely not knowing what to think and in desperate need of advice, needed someone to confide in and share her incredible news with. Being as inexperienced as she was, couldn't keep something like that all to herself. I certainly know that when I have big news, I'm desperate to tell it to other people straight away. And in the same way, Mary knew that she'd have to tell Joseph about it sooner or later. If I was Mary, I find it extremely difficult to tell Joseph, as firstly, I wouldn't be able to word it in the right way, and secondly, I would be very fearful about how he was going to react to this news. And despite that, although Mary might have been afraid, God was with her and had everything under control. Joseph must have had a hard time accepting all this, as he knew that the child Mary was pregnant with wasn't his. However, he did cope with it better than most men back then would have done. Joseph had a dream which explained everything to him. This helped Mary significantly, as it meant that she had someone to help her get through all this with. Mary was also pregnant out of wedlock, as she wasn't married to Joseph. The social expectations were that children were born within marriage. So most girls who had a child without being married would have to leave their homes and families. There was also the potential of being sold into slavery or even stoned to death. So the community that Mary lived in probably wouldn't have been very accepting of her circumstances. They most likely tried to make her feel ashamed of herself, and this would not have made the situation any easier for Mary. So really, she was fortunate that Joseph didn't have her sent away. Therefore, Joseph's kindness towards her was a real blessing, and God was really looking after her when he chose Joseph as her husband. Remember, Mary would have only been a young teenager, possibly as young as 12 when she had Jesus. And this would have been fairly normal back then, but for us now, it's extremely young. Nowadays, having a baby at such a young age would be a big deal and a huge responsibility for Mary. Carrying not just any old baby, but God's son. God must have had a lot of trust in Mary that she was the right woman for the job. It must have been very overwhelming and shocking for her to take in the fact that God thought she was worthy enough to do what she did. Mary took it in her stride and, like many other Jewish women at the time, would have been working hard for most of the day. Added to the stress of having a very special baby was the fear of the Romans, who were known for burning down cities and taking people away for slavery. It would have been quite an oppressing place for Mary to live in, especially as the Romans had a large empire and were quite powerful at the time. Yes, Mary was inexperienced, but in God's eyes, she was perfect and so worthy for the job at hand. The fact that Mary was so young but was still massively used by God thinks back to the fact that Jesus does use children to do great things, even though they are young. Mary was clearly a woman who had acknowledged that God was taking her humble status and using it to do amazing things, not just for her, but also for generations to come. So overall, what we can take away from the Christmas story, from Mary's perspective, is that it teaches us to be humble, just as Mary was when God chose her to be the mother of Jesus. The Christmas story also reminds us to be faithful and trust in God no matter what. And it shows us that while Mary was nervous about her situation, she knew God had it all under control. So this demonstrates how we should remember that God is with us when we are worried about something. Consequently, Mary is the ultimate example that young people or children can 100% be used for God's kingdom. If Mary was used as a young person to bring Jesus into the world, then surely that is a massive encouragement to children that God can use anyone to do possibly just as extraordinary things.
Thank you so much, Emily. Some really